Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Beginning with the story of Adam and Eve, the scriptures remind us that the human condition is one of being away from home. You know the story. Adam and Eve had a great thing going for them, but they blew it. Their actions alienated them from God and caused them to be exiled from their home. The Apostle Paul would say much later that everything that happened to the human race throughout history can be traced back to the sin of Adam and Eve. Only because of what God voluntarily did in the incarnation, the birth that we gather to celebrate this night, are we reconciled to God and set free from the terrible curse of sin and death. When we begin our preparation for Christmas with the story of Adam and Eve, it sets human history in the proper context. The promises of deliverance take on a fuller meaning. We understand that these promises refer to a people who had entered into a covenant relationship with God, but time and time again, they violated the covenant, they broke the promises, and caused separation to occur between them and God. Eventually, the only way reconciliation can happen is for God to initiate it. That's what happened on that first Christmas, which we reckon to have occurred 2,000 years ago, give or take a couple of decades. So much of the Advent preparation that's gone on in this church and my congregation and churches all over the world has been about home and homelessness, exile and homecoming. We long to be in a place where, as the song from an old TV series says, everybody knows your name. So Christmas is about much more than a baby in a stable. It's about being found in a stable. It's about God finding us in the stable of Bethlehem, where we have finally arrived tonight after our long Advent pilgrimage. We didn't choose to be with God. God chose to be with us, to be Emmanuel. Wherever we may be and whatever we have done, in God's good time, our lost home will be restored to us. We will climb back into the lap of the one who loves us more than anything we can imagine. And there we will be held and comforted and loved. Now that promise speaks directly to the child that lives in each one of us. We don't need psychologists to tell us that what children fear most is abandonment, because that's the very thing we adults continue to fear most of all. There is no dread so terrible as the fear that everyone we know and love will go away and leave us alone. Perhaps that's why the longing for home is greater at Christmas than at any other time, I'll be home for Christmas. The song says you know it. If only in my dreams. Now, one member of my family is here tonight, my husband. And in a little while, we'll be going home to our semi-decorated home to relax and enjoy Christmas Eve and Christmas Day tomorrow. But I can't help but remember that not so many years ago, our home was full of excited children on Christmas. Only three, but the house seemed very full. And a pile of presents under the tree. I feel blessed that I'll have one child visiting at Christmas, but I miss the other two who are so far away. And there's another home I'm missing. And perhaps you are too. That's the home of my childhood, where Christmas was, according to my memories, always wonderful. On the farm with my parents and my brother and sister, my grandparents, my great aunt and uncle, and assorted cousins. There are always homes that we are longing for when we dream of Christmas. But in a very real sense, none of us are home for Christmas tonight. Because being home for Christmas in the truest sense would mean that we were with the one who loves us more than our imagination will allow us to understand. The great preacher Fred Craddock has compared our earthly life to the nomadic experience of living in a tent. It's just temporary. We're all passing through on the way to our true home. It's interesting that the Greek of the first chapter of the Gospel of John literally says that in Christ, God came and tented with humanity. But even more than all that, Christmas is not just about Mary and Joseph coming home to Bethlehem and finding no room. It's not even about our desire for our own homecoming. It's about God coming home. We couldn't go to God, so God came to us. When we hear, "I'll be home for Christmas," by Dean Martin or whatever artist has done that song so well that it stands out in your memory. When Luke hears that song, it is God who is singing. You took your time out from your own Christmas Eve festivities to be here tonight. And I'm glad that you did. But do you know why you came? Because in the midst of whatever else you have planned for tonight, maybe a lot, maybe a little, with all the love and laughter and the big and little joys that come with Christmas, you felt the need to be close to your true home tonight, to be near the one who loves you more, even more than anyone else in the whole world could love you. I think you are here because this is where you feel the greatest joy of all. And well, you should. For unto us is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God has come home.